be here with you this morning and share the words, Lord, the word of the Lord. And I just want to start off with a word of prayer as I get started. Lord Jesus, I'm deeply humbled, Lord, that you'd take a man like me who has turned his back from you, ran away from you, mocked you, minimized you, and you still went to the cross for me. Wow, Lord. I'm so humbled that you do that for me and for all of us. And Lord, I'm even more humbled, Lord, that you would allow me to speak and proclaim your glory to your people. So Lord, as I speak today, Lord, I just need your Holy Spirit to speak through me. Lord, let you put the words on my mouth, Lord. Let it be for the building up of your congregation, Lord. Help me not just with the speaking, but also help the congregation with the hearing, the learning, the understanding, so that we can grow to become your children, fully mature in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we get started today, there's four words that I want to talk about today. And then hopefully at the end here, I'll put it all together and see how that coordinates with what we do at the rescue mission. And here's what those four words are. The first word is acclimation. Acclimation. The second word is simulation. Simulation. The third word is sanctification, which we should all be well familiar with. And finally, authentication. Or is it authentication or authentication? I don't know. I'll let y'all figure that out. Myron, you could probably tell me. So I want to start with that first word, acclimation. And I think acclimation is what the Lord is referring to here in this passage from Joshua 23, where he says, "Therefore be courageous to keep and do all that's written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right or left, and lest you go among these nations who remain among you, and you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them, nor shall you serve them or bow down to them, but you should hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have said, you have done this day." And he goes on and ends that by saying, "But be careful, because they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges to your side, and thorn to your eyes, until you perish from this good land from which the Lord your God has given you." So here's what he's saying. He's saying, look, I'm warning you about the climate you're living in. I'm warning you about how you're going to be living and growing up in this area, and that there are still enemies in the land. Acclimation, when we talk about acclimation, here's the visual image I want to give you. Acclimation is like when mountain climbers go up a mountain, okay? They're going up the mountain to higher and higher altitudes. And as they get up to these higher and higher altitudes, the air starts changing, right? And as the air starts changing, every now and then those climbers, they have to stop and let their bodies adjust to the new atmosphere. Okay, that's what acclimation is. Adjusting to the new atmosphere. And I'm telling you, we live in an atmosphere today where we are constantly being challenged to change, to adjust to simply keep on moving towards something other than what God's word is. And I tell you, it's got to be so difficult for young people. My son is 15, and he's being very challenged right now. Because the atmosphere at his school is not one focused on God. It's not that we live in a bad community. It's that his peers aren't God-focused. They are world-focused. And because they are world-focused, they are reinforcing to each other different thoughts, different views on living. And they're constantly trying to adjust to and share whatever they adjust to so that they can get confirmation from their peers. Okay? And so there is an atmosphere of acclimation going on, not just at our schools, but in our culture in general, right? The acclimation being we're being giving information through the news, through TV shows, right? They're always sending messages, virtue signaling, trying to tell you what you should believe and what's wrong to believe. And so we see this in the news, we see it in TV shows, we hear it in music, we see it on social media, and we are constantly being bombarded with all of these influences upon our thought life, upon how we are going to decide to live our lives, trying to decide what right and wrong is. And if we are not strong in our faith, we will easily acclimate to the world. Here's what we acclimate to. We acclimate to what we surround ourselves with the most. We acclimate to what we surround ourselves with the most. That's why it's very important that we think about who our friends are, who we're hanging out with, what we're doing. Where is this group going? What is this group accomplishing? And is that where the Lord wants me? The world will teach you not to even ask that question. Where does the Lord want me? Because the world wants to tell you where they want you. And that's exactly what's going on in the culture here that Israel is moving into. They're moving into a climate where there's other gods. They're moving into a climate where there's people out there who want to teach their traditions, what they're doing, what their way of life is. And what God has called these people to do is to be a priestly nation, okay? So if the Israelites are there to be a priestly nation, what's their job in this culture? Their job in the culture is to teach the word of God and help the rest of the culture come towards God so that they can acclimate to what the word of God is, right? Am I making sense? Yes, no, maybe. Okay. Hopefully we'll get there. So the struggle for Israel in this climate is there's all these other gods, there's all these other altars, there's all these other things, and here we are, we're worshiping the one true God, but yet there's still these altars here and there's still these practices here. And what happens is we can get lulled into complacency to where we start doing that second word, simulating. Okay? Simulating means we're trying to do a little of this and a little of that. But the word simulation means this. To simulate something is to pretend. That's the whole part of simulation. There is no simulation without pretending. Simulation is trying to put up an imaginary experience of doing something that you're not really doing. And because you're simulating it, it feels like you're doing it. You can easily believe that you're experiencing that. You can easily believe that you're growing in that, but it's not true. It's not authentic. And here in the scriptures here, we see where In Jeremiah 7, he kind of calls the people out on this. He says, this is what he says in Jeremiah chapter 7. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Hold on. Where are they at? What's the location of this message? Stand at the gate of the Lord's house. As the people are coming into the Lord's house, this is where he's giving this message. So think about this. As the people are coming in, he didn't say, hey, go stand outside the altar of Baal. He didn't say, go stand outside the altar of Asherah. He said, go stand at the gates of my house. And as my people come in, give them this message. So he's speaking to the people of the Lord, going to church, on their way in to worship. And here's what he says. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I'll let you live in this place. He's sitting there talking to the church and saying, hey, church, I see something going on here, and we need to have some reformation going on right here within the body of Christ. Do not trust in deceptive words and saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And that was kind of like a worship hymn, okay? That repeating there, it was kind of like a worship that they were doing. Oh, we're in the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You can say the words all day long, but if you're not living the words, it's not authentic. He goes on to say, if you really change your ways and your actions and you deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place. But look, you're trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. So what he's saying here is, you're simulating church, but you're not being authentic in it. I want you to be authentic in it. So they're coming in, they're bringing their sacrifices in, right? They're bringing their bulls, they're bringing their goats, they're bringing their sheep in to sacrifice. But here's the problem. Then they're taking some more goats and sheep and they're going to Baal. And then they're taking some more goats and sheep and they're going to Asherah. And then they're taking some more goats and sheep and they're going to Molech. And they're going to all these other gods as if they're just hedging their bets, right? I'm going to take a little bit of this one because I like what this one says about this. I'm going to take a little bit of that one, and I'm going to take a little bit of that one, and I'm going to take a little bit of that one. And that's what our culture does. We try to blend it all together and try to discount one over the other, and one's not more important than the other. But here's what God's saying. He's saying, you know what? I'm your sacrifice. I'm your sacrifice. I'm the one who lays it all down for you. I'm not equal to these other gods. You know what's different about Jesus Christ than about all these other gods? All these other gods say, you sacrifice to me. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to sacrifice for you. He was authentic. He was real. He gave himself out there. He didn't hold back anything. And so here we are. We've got these people going through and they're making these sacrifices. But all they're really doing is, I call it a blood economy of sin. That is, I'm going to give my goats up today to receive forgiveness for my sins, and I'm going to go back out and I'm going to sin again because I got some more goats. And we turn it into Walmart, right? Pick your sin. Here you go. Here's your sin right here for $2.99, and you can get forgiveness today for $2.99 at Walmart. And then you can go over here. Oh, you like this sin over here? This sin over here is $7.99, and you can pick up as many of these as you want. Oh, we got tons of them. Come back next week. We'll have more. You can get some more forgiveness. But they're selling it, not asking for any what? Repentance. There's no repentance here. It's just keep on getting more. Oh, yeah, I can do this all day long. Walmart's got plenty of them. I can afford $7.99, and we believe this lie that we can just go out there as if it's $2.99, as if it's $7.99. It's something affordable. There's no scarcity here. And so, within that concept, we see John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist, he was the son of Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the high priests, right? So think of this. John the Baptist was growing up, the son of Zechariah. And what do you think Zechariah is wanting John the Baptist to do when he grows up? To be a high priest, right? That's what you do. You take over the family business. You follow in your father's footsteps. But John the Baptist grows up and he's preparing the way for Christ, and he sees something wrong with this, and he sees that all they're doing is going in there and killing animals. And this is what he says, I don't keep shedding innocent blood in this place. What are you saying? You're not valuing the sacrifice. And so John the Baptist is growing up, and he's seeing this, and he's understanding that there's something wrong here. And so where do we find John the Baptist? We find him not in the temple, not wearing the robes of his father. We don't see him out there sacrificing animals to God. What we see him doing is leading a movement, right? He's leading a movement down at the Jordan River, out in the wilderness. My God doesn't need your building. What he needs is people with repentant hearts. And so he begins baptizing people for repentance of sins. What they were not doing in the temple, he's called them out to the river to do. You don't need an animal sacrifice. What you need is a repentant heart. A heart that longs to be truly God's. A heart that longs to be truly a follower of Jesus, that follows his words, and we don't stray to the left or to the right. And this is what we call the process of sanctification. You can't have sanctification without repentance. The two go hand in hand. It's impossible to have them apart. Repentance and sanctification go hand in hand. That is, I was tempted to do this and I did this before, but now I understand the value of Christ's sacrifice. And because now I understand the value of Christ's sacrifice, I've got to say no to that way of life, because I don't want to keep putting my Savior back up on the crucifixion all over again. I love him too much to keep doing that to him. And when we begin loving Christ, we really start understanding the sacrifice, and then we start becoming authenticated in Christ. For a long time, I struggled with what it meant to be an authentic Christian. To be an authentic Christian meant to do everything the Word of God says, right? I still fall short. Oh my gosh. But it's a goal of mine. It's a goal. It's what I want to aim for. It's the trajectory of my life that I'm going to continue to allow God to work in my heart, that I'm going to continue to try to adjust my life to the Word of God, not to the culture. And that's the battle today. Are we going to adjust our lives to the culture, or are we going to put ourselves in the Word of God? Are we going to meditate on it day and night? Are we going to let the Word of God truly guide us in life? It's a wrestling match, isn't it? You got to treat it like it's a wrestling match. That's what Paul says. Paul says, hey, I'm not going about this aimlessly. I'm training myself. I'm like a fighter who's going into training to submit my body to Christ. I am going to run the race in such a way as to show that I want to win this race. He's saying, I'm going to be very intentional about how I go about doing this so that I can give my best to Christ. That if you're not intentional about it, let me say it this way, if you're not intentional about it, you will acclimate to the culture. Where does all this fit in with the rescue mission? It's got everything to do with the rescue mission, because the men that are coming to us, they have acclimated their whole lives to the culture. And they get into that life of the culture. And they, you know what they find? They find pain. They find shame. They find guilt. They find a life that they're miserable with. I haven't seen one guy, not one guy, come into the mission happy to be there. Not one guy have I come across who said, man, my goal was to become homeless and I achieved it. Not one guy said, gosh, I was hoping to become an alcoholic and I did it. Not one guy said, I was hoping I'd get addicted to drugs or to pornography or to many other of vices that the culture says you should go into. Not one of them said, hey, I planned it this way. What they're finding is the wisdom of God's word leads to life. But I tell you what, the schemes of the enemy lead to death. The devil is a liar, he's a thief, he's a destroyer. I'm going to say that again. The devil is a liar, a thief, and a destroyer. And he's out to destroy everything that belongs to God, and you belong to God. You're God's child. You're made in his image. And that's the false belief that our culture has. They don't believe we're really made in the image of God. They don't really believe that we are God's children. They don't believe in the Word of God. They don't believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that he was sacrificed on a cross and raised in 3 days, and that he showed himself to more than 500 people and he ascended up into heaven. And they don't believe he's going to come back again. So here's what we're doing at the mission. The guys come into the mission. We're helping them to acclimate. But not acclimate to the culture. We're creating culture within the mission and helping the guys acclimate to the Word of God. The culture will lead you astray. It's brought you to this place of pain. It's brought you to where you're at today. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ died for you while you were a sinner. He didn't wait for you to get your life all together and then died for you. He died for you while you were still a sinner. And we want you to know that. We want you to know his love. We want you to know his grace. We want you to know that he forgives you. We want you to know that he's welcoming you in. And that if you will follow to the best of your ability the word of God and start letting the word of God have authority in your life, more authority than the culture, and you learn this word of God, it will lead you into a better place. I know because he did it for me. And he's done it for so many others. And he'll do it for you too. And so we build a culture for guys to step out of the world and back into a climate where they can acclimate to the word of God. We don't want to simulate. We don't want to simulate. We don't want to pretend. We want to look for authentic change that requires repentance, right? That's the process of sanctification. And so we speak truth. We hold people accountable. We help people to see that, hey, you're getting back off track here again. You need to get back on the right track. We've got to be authentic, because I tell you what, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but change is hard. Anybody gone on a diet? How hard was that, right? Anybody made a promise to themselves, I haven't been studying, but now I'm going to study, okay? How hard is that to keep up with your own promises that you make to yourself? It's hard. Change is hard. So we have to be graceful while the person's trying to make these changes, but we also need structure and accountability to help them succeed in making the changes. And through it all, our hope is that they learn to live a life acclimating to God's word and less to culture, so that when they leave the mission, they can have an authentic change in their heart where they accept a new identity as children of Christ and they go out to live in our community in that way. Now, it may seem overwhelming to live in the culture that we do and expect anyone to do well. But here's what Jesus says. Be salt and be light. Okay? Being light means you stand out in the darkness. You help others in darkness to start having eyes to see. But one thing you can't do is put a basket over your light and darken it. Okay? We have to let our light shine. The best way we can do that is to love each other and love God and be authentic ourselves. The more we do that, the more light we give, the more we help others to see, hey, there is a different way of life. Hey, you can live successfully in your life with God. And we want them to know this. At the mission, we have probably more than 500 people a year come to us. We give out over 20,000 nights of shelter throughout the year. We give over 50,000 meals a year. All of those things are things that bring people in. But I tell you, what really happens at the mission is hearts are changed. People find Christ at the mission. We had over 80 men make a declaration to Jesus Christ, to give their life to Jesus Christ this past year at the mission. People's hearts and minds are being won for Christ, and they're learning to live a new way. And that's what we want, right? We don't want them to stay out on the streets. We don't want them to stay in their misery. We don't want to stay in pain. We want them to have hope in a new and better life. And that can be found in Christ. And so, because we put Christ first, we don't take government funding. and even the foundations that have helped us in the past, we're having a harder time getting help from foundations because they often want us to have policies that acclimate to cultural pressures. Okay? And we're just not going to do that. We're going to stand firm in our faith. We're going to stand firm in what we believe in Jesus Christ. And we're going to trust that Jesus is going to provide for our needs. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to all of you. Your church donates to the mission. Many of you donate to the mission. And because of that, we're able to do what we do. And so I just want to say thank you for doing that. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. And thank you for your prayers and continued thoughts for the mission and the work we do. And with that, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you today for this opportunity to share your word. And Lord, I just pray that you challenge each of us, Lord, to first of all personally examine ourselves to see, Lord, am I adjusting to culture? Am I acclimating to the wrong things? And if I see that I am, then Lord, help me to repent. Help me to continue this process of sanctification, of becoming more and more like you, so that, Lord, I can live out my life as an authentic Christian, not perfect, but continuing to work into your image. And all this I pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.